Hello, everybody. Welcome to Lecture 4. We are going to be discussing sustainability today. So that is it's a good one, right? I mean, that's certainly something that has been part of, in the United States, that's been part of the national conversation, and certainly it's part of the international conversation. But I think it's important to recognize that sustainability crosses many different areas, and it's not just environmental. But we will focus on environmental as well as some of the other areas. So looking forward to this lecture and looking forward to our time together as we are right in the thick of these lectures. So keep in mind that first couple, we just talked about kind of what is international business. Then we talked a little bit about some of the statistics around the staggering statistics around the international business. Last module, we focused on culture and talked about Hofstede and certainly some of the elements of culture and why it was important to have a global mindset. And now we move into sustainability, and then we're going to get into some economic forces and things like that, and that is where we're going next. But let's start with sustainability, shall we? Let's not get a hold ahead of ourselves. And by the way, from a company perspective, I really enjoy the company that we will be discussing this module briefly. It is a company that I certainly enjoy their products, as you will be able to figure out. Anyway, I just want to go ahead and talk about sustainability, and we'll get to that portion later. So, let's remember that the concept of sustainability is critically important. There are certainly different types of sustainability. So don't think of sustainability as just environmental sustainability. The definition of sustainability, it's pretty simple. It means maintaining something. So if you think about maintaining something as definition of sustainability, you can see that sustainability goes beyond just the environment, but it's talking about everything. Maintaining something is sustainability. So talking about economic sustainability, you have to do things to maintain your business, and environmentally, you got to do things, et cetera, et cetera. So thinking about sustainability as maintaining something is a good start, but that's certainly not as nuanced as the definition can get. So most sustainability definitions talk about meeting the needs of the present without compromising future generations' abilities to meet their needs. And that's why you hear this talk about the environment a lot. If we burn out our resources now, our future generations will not succeed. That's so you can think about that in terms of sustainability. To be sustainable, companies need to consider how they do business and change the way they manage things. For example, with environmental sustainability, one of the things you can think about if you're a paper company is if you cut down a tree, you plant a tree, right? So every tree you cut down to make paper, you then subsequently plant a tree, and that will help ensure that the future that there's trees for the future, that your business continues to be sustainable, that future generations will have the right levels of oxygen, everything else that they need. That's one example. In a business context, sustainability goes beyond environmental. It also talks about social sustainability and economic sustainability, which I talked about a little bit. So sustainability talks about conservation and savings, but it's more than that as well. It's understanding the entire supply chain, and we're going to talk about that in the context of the company I picked as well, because they have made some bold statements regarding their sustainable practices when it comes to their supply chain, when it comes to even their customers using their products. So in order to achieve sustainable practices, there needs to be an understanding of the entire life cycle of the product and an assessment of that life cycle. So understanding the entire product. So this is getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I have a computer that is Apple. I note my case, which I used for this class. And I have a Apple phone, and I have an Apple watch. In my bag over here, I have an Apple iPad. And when I get home, I will be watching my Apple TV. I think you see my point. When I go to work, I'll be listening to my Apple HomePod, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So in order for Apple to consider sustainable practices, which again, this is the focus of the company this week, they have to consider the product from cradle, you'll hear the term from cradle to grave. They have to consider the product from cradle to grave. So they need to understand that if you're concerned about environmental footprint, designing technological products that require replacement annually is not going to help help the environment, and that understanding the role of finite resources is important. So it is a balancing act, right? Because ultimately, a company needs to sell, well, depending on the company, right? There are service-related companies, which we talked about the importance service committee. But for Apple, they have services, but they also have tangible products that I pointed out all over the place, right? So for Apple, they need to think about and they need to understand that if they make a product that's going to break every year, like if this watch broke every year and it was only supposed to last a year, then they need to do that to make money, but they also need to know that that's very taxing on the environment, that's very taxing on people economically, that's very taxing in a whole host of ways. Plus the social impact of making that kind of decision as well. So Apple is thinking about these kind of things, and they are going to go 100% carbon neutral for all the products they offer. And that's not just for the products that they offer in their supply chain, but that's when the products get to me and you and others, that those products will be carbon neutral as well. So they're doing this through reduced packaging, which some can argue the merits of that, but certainly some of the things they're doing there. Energy initiatives and also the importance of recycling and reuse and the incentivizing people to do that. You can see with this plastic bottle that this is obviously taxing on the environment as well, even though Pure Life certainly has a planet on there. But there are some initiatives that are doing that as well. So there are companies that carpet manufacturers that are using old plastic bottles to make a make carpets. So that's a good use. That's good for the environment, and it's a good use of the product. And they are doing things like recycling old products like plastic bottles to make new products. There's also people who are have businesses where they're incentivizing people to turn in their plastic bottles, which then are used to create products, and in return they are getting a gift card with money on it that they can spend to buy things or get credits for things and things like that. So there's a lot of work being done by a lot of companies to make sure that this plastic bottle does not go to waste. In fact, I just noticed that this has a little recycle symbol on it as well. There are ways to measure sustainability within companies. It's a little bit tough, to be honest with you. It's kind of hard to measure sustainability, but there are ways to do it. And, what criteria are you going to use to measure sustainability within a company? So there are tons out there. The United Nations is doing, there's this Global Reporting Initiative, Carbon Disclosure Project, and others that are frameworks that are used to measure sustainability. The Carbon Disclosure Project provides a way to report frameworks for sustainable water use and a reduction of greenhouse gas emissions. So the notion of footprinting, which is measuring the carbon footprint as well as the water footprint, which is more difficult to measure the water footprint, but certainly measuring the carbon footprint is something that we are familiar with. But this Carbon Disclosure Project is also looking at the water footprint as well. So what are the characteristics of an environmentally sustainable business? So what do you think? I'm going to go silent for a minute and let you think about that. So some of you may have thought about the fact that a environmental sustainable business recognizes that there are limits to resources, that we'll eventually run out of trees or water or soil. And that same business also recognizes the impact of social issues, which lead to sustainable practice. For example, Shell Oil has been accused and has been trying to make some improvements, but Shell Oil has environmentally destroyed regions of the world, particularly in Africa, when it comes to the region, and has had a major negative impact. So certainly Shell is learning from those practices of taking advantage of certain government structures and also questionable environmental practices. So that is something they're learning from, and their sustainability score and their environmental score is quite low. So in addition to limits, environmental sustainable businesses recognizes that interdependence exists between sustainable practices. So outsourcing has implications for the community. There's an impact on the environment because of increased travel to deliver the goods and services. There's an impact on the local economy by taking those products out of the local economy. And there is an economic and also a societal impact for outsourcing. So there's this this author, her name is Barbara Kingsolver, and she wrote this book called, I think it was called Animal Vegetable Miracle, something like that. If you look up Kingsolver and look up Animal Vegetable Miracle, it'll come up. And in it, what she did was she was concerned about her family's environmental impact on the world, among other things. So she made a commitment to stay and buy local and to grow her own food. And for a year, her family lived off the earth, lived off the local resources, and then, a couple of the other farms in the area as well. But basically lived off of the local resources and made a commitment to reduce the amount of energy that they used to get their food. And when you talk about sustainability, that is obviously a portion of sustainability as well. So obviously recycling this plastic bottle is important, but if I recycle this plastic bottle and then it gets put on a truck, which is driven from where I'm at now, and then it gets on a big boat, and then it's taken across the pond to England, where then it gets on a plane, and then it goes here, and then it does this, and then it does this, and then it does this, that's a bigger environmental impact than keeping this bottle local. So that's something to keep in mind as you're thinking about sustainability, as you're thinking about sustainable practices, as you're thinking about those kind of things, understanding that products come from somewhere and there's an impact on where they come from is important. There is a stakeholder model for sustainable business practices. So traditional model of serving the shareholders is an abandoned is abandoned for an approach that favors the stakeholders. So traditionally, there's been an economic argument and a discussion around the fact that shareholders are the people who a company serves. And the new model is saying, no, that's not necessarily true, that we're also serving stakeholders, and stakeholders play a vital role. So in this model, there's increased transparency because it's saying that society at large plays a role and they are a stakeholder in whatever a company is doing. For example, if a company comes in and completely decimates the environmental a region environmentally, or there's a nuclear plant explosion or whatever, then that obviously affects the stakeholders as well as the shareholders. So profit-driven motives may not be the only reason to have your business is the point that I'm trying to make. So the questions around that is, what is the purpose of a company? I mean, there's problems with that approach. What is the purpose of a company? Who does a company serve? That's a legitimate question. Are they there for their owners, or are they there to generate wealth in the community? Are they there to do good in the community? What is the role of a country? And these are difficult questions that that certainly companies are grappling with now, particularly in the United States. Companies are grappling with these issues when it comes to social justice and things like that, and what role to play politically, and what the role of the company is in providing those kind of initiatives. So that is something that is currently being grappled with, is what is the role of a company, and what role does the company play in societal sustainability? Let me just say, not to get political, not to involve myself in any of that, but what I will say is that I think this is a good conversation for companies, is what is their responsibility to the general welfare of their stakeholders, not just their shareholders. And as a citizen, if I'm living in, so I live near a beach, and if I'm living near a beach and, somebody comes in and destroys the beach, so I cannot, a company comes in and destroys the beach so I cannot enjoy the beach anymore, I'm going to be pretty upset. So thinking about sustainability, it comes down to resources. So let's define some terms. There are natural resources, which would be things like water. Thinking about it from an energy perspective, there are resources that are natural from the sun, like solar power. And renewable sources, but non-renewable sources that are natural would be things like coal or petroleum. So you hear the talk a lot about protecting our reserves, protecting our natural resources, and there's a finite amount of our natural resources. Well, that's talking about non-renewable things like coal or petroleum oil. There is a significant push toward renewable energy, as many of you know. Using solar power is certainly one. Hydroelectric power is another. The reason for these is that they are renewable. But there is a problem with this approach. For instance, I live in an RV full-time. And if I were to get a renewable, if I were to put a solar panel, which would charge the batteries in my truck, which I don't have a truck like that, but if I did, and I had a truck that was completely electric power, and I charged it from solar, I was pulling an RV, I would not get the range needed to be able to travel to and fro. Scientists are working diligently to tackle some of those issues and reduce our dependency on non-renewable energy sources. Let's see, what else? Nope, that's it. So now I'm going to turn to discussing one of my favorite companies and some of the things that they are doing from a sustainable practice perspective. So give me a moment to, there we go, to turn on my screen. And you can see here that that they have several products that they are selling. If you want to get a Mac, you can, an iPad, and an Apple Watch. I'm not going to go through all of them. Now, remember that we talked about both goods and services. That was from an earlier lecture. I would like to point out that that Apple does both. They offer services, and you can see that here with Apple TV, and then they also offer goods and products. But what I really want to focus on is looking at, what I really want to focus on is looking at the business. So let's look at the environment. We're carbon neutral, and by 2030, every product you will love will be. Two. So that means they're reworking on how it's designed. So if you think about some of the things that we just discussed in the lecture, we talked about that cradle-to-grave concept where you have to consider the entire life cycle of a product, and Apple is showing that here as well. That goes from how it's designed, how it's made, how it's shipped, how it's used, how it's recycled. Apple does have a plan. They have a video, which I recommend you taking the time to watch. We're not going to watch it now, but see. So you can watch that and see that, and then learn more about their program. So what they're doing, using renewable energy, increasing efficiency, avoiding direct emissions, investing in natural-based solutions, and they talk about their plan for that. They talk about why, and they talk about a lot. This is pretty cool. It talks about the evolution of the iMac, and it talks about how they're getting closer. This is clever marketing. And that is the one less thing. If you remember Steve Jobs, well, you may not remember, but Steve Jobs famously announced one more thing, and that's kind of been their call when they release new products. They go one more thing. So this is talking about one less thing, which is pulling out the chargers, which I think I made reference to as well, which could be pretty controversial, but they're not including power chargers anymore as well. So this is a little bit about Apple, about their commitment, how they're going to become waste-free, how they've quit using certain products, and then you can see that they even have a vice president of environmental policy and social issues. So they are taking it very, very, very seriously. And then they have product reports, which I will show you this real quick. I won't read you the whole thing, but I will. I just realized I'm scrolling pretty fast. I'm sorry about that. And you can see here climate change, resources, and smarter chemistry. And they talk about this as all part of their plan. So Apple is a global company. It is an international company. It certainly has a lot of manufacturing in China. China is critical to their model. But in addition to that, they are also focused on sustainable practices, and sustainability is something that is very important to them as a company. So with that, I'm going to close this in prayer, and then we will talk about Lecture 5, which is political forces that have an impact on global trade. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our time together today, Lord. I thank you for everybody taking the time to watch this lecture and think about what we talked about when it comes to sustainability and how sustainability is not just environmental sustainability, but is also economic sustainability as well and social sustainability. Lord, as our class is a third of the way done, I pray that the students have been able to take the things that you have wanted them to learn, Lord, and that we have taught them, and they will be able to use it in powerful ways for you and for your kingdom. So, Lord, I ask for a special blessing to the individuals in this class. I pray that you will help them to have a wonderful day and a wonderful week, that you will calm their mind and spirit if something is on there, that you will help them to know that you are Lord and Savior, and that you are in charge of all. And, Lord, I pray that we will be good stewards of the resources you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining me in prayer as we conclude Lecture 4. I just want to let you know that in Lecture 5, we are going to be talking about some of those forces that we talked about before, and we will talk about political forces and what impact they have on global trade. So I look forward to you joining me back for that lecture, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you.